Most of us have heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. Also, we've heard the cliche, be careful how you live. Your life may be the only Bible that someone ever reads. And when we think about this in the Christian journey, it's probably the hardest part of the Christian workout, and probably the place that we need training and strength more than anything else as Christians, because our actions are the hardest thing to control, and oftentimes the most misunderstood. There's something that happens between the mind and the flesh, you know. Our mind wants to do a certain thing, but our flesh does something else. And unfortunately, rather than having mercy and compassion on those that we think are not acting like Christians, what do? We slam the door on them, we judge them, and refuse to have anything to do with them anymore, because we think they're not acting like Christians. If we hold to that thinking, you know, we can write off the Apostle Paul, as well as other Christians that we read about, and in fact, including Jesus. We like to define how Christians should act. But when we do this, we oftentimes are not actually acting like Christians ourselves, because we use worldly standards, don't we? We use worldly standards in Christianity to judge whether someone is acting like a Christian. And Christians cannot be defined by worldly standards. It's just, that isn't the way it works. You see, the worldly standards aim at the goal of perfection, right? And we become so afraid that we're going to make a mistake and not be perfect, that sometimes we're frozen in our little world and we're afraid to do anything or say anything because we may not be perfect. That's the worldly standards. So oftentimes Christians will say, oh, look at them, they made a mistake, or look at them, they did this, or oh my gosh, did you see what they did? They can't be Christians because they don't act like Christians. But instead, as Christians, we must use the heavenly standard of grace. We think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee who wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else. He stands as an example of the battle that we face as Christians regarding how we act. Now, if you remember in Romans chapter 7, Paul was dealing with his own Christian struggle. He says, I don't understand what I do. And I'd love to hear Paul say this, because he's probably shaking his head saying, I don't understand what I do. What I want to do, I do not do. But instead what I hate, that's the thing I do. And if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. It's sin living in me. I want you to think about something before we go any further with this. Paul said, it's sin living in me. Paul was a Christian, a devout and pious Christian, but he had sin living in him. And what did he do? He was not perfect, was he? He said, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. Some translations say, in my flesh. Nothing good lives in my flesh. I have the desire to do what's good, but I can't carry it out. What I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I don't want to do, that's the thing I keep on doing. So I find this law at work in me. He says, this is the principle that I'm wrestling with. When I want to do good, evil's right there. In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work out in the members of my body, in my actions, waging war against my mind, making me a prisoner. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Imagine Paul's struggle. A devout Christian. Imagine what others must have thought of him at times, and the way he acted. He admits he wasn't perfect. He admitted that he was a sinner. He still sinned. That he still did evil things. Imagine what others must have thought about him. In fact, the super apostles that followed Paul all around on his missionary trips tried to discredit Paul by saying, look at how he's acting. No, he's not a Christian. He's not even a good Jew, because look at how he's acting. Paul knew it. Paul knew that his actions affected what others thought about him. And he confessed, wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me? Who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, granted, some claim to be Christians in the New Testament, but they openly and freely lived like pagans. They were living according to their old ways. These are those that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and that true Christians were not to associate with them in hopes of bringing them back to their senses. Now, there were reasons for that in that context. You have to understand that is not the doctrine of Christianity, that when somebody doesn't act like a Christian, we no longer associate with them because they're not Christians and we are. That's not teaching that at all. You have to read that in the context of what Paul was writing here, in that people were claiming to be Christians, but they were practicing all the old pagan ways. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit here. Now, in the Bible, God tells His people, be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. So the question is, what does that mean for us? Be holy as I am holy. This word holy in the Bible, when you read that and understand what God was saying to His people, the word holy does not mean perfect. The word holy means separate. Separate from society's ways and the ways of culture. In other words, God was a different God than the gods of the pagans. His laws and His statutes and His commands for His people were different than the laws and statutes and commands of the other so-called gods. And again, we're going to talk about the differences here in just a second. So He was saying to His people, I want you to be different in the same way that I am different. That does not mean perfect. If you live your life as a Christian trying to be perfect, you will literally wear yourself out. You will wear yourself out trying to be perfect, because you never will be perfect in this life. That's not the goal of the Christian, to be perfect. And in the meantime, the society is looking at us and saying, yep, look at them. Look at how they acted. They're not perfect. They're not Christians. Well, that's not what Christianity is all about. And this is part of the reason that Christians have given Christianity a bad name. We try to be perfect, and it's impossible, isn't it? The Holy Spirit was not given to us so that we could be perfect. The Holy Spirit was given to us to sanctify us, to set us aside for God and His service and His work and His ministry and His mission. We're different than the rest of the world. We're not just do-gooders. We are God's chosen people, serving God and serving others. Being holy involves living with separate standards than the culture lives with, having different principles, having different goals, having different guidelines, and herein is the focus of the Christian life and how we should act. Today there are certain standards that people in churches hold in order to be considered a Christian. Maybe some of those are good. Maybe some of those are good. But you know, oftentimes when churches and people hold to these standards, they find themselves doing the Christian workout. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to act this way. I got to act a certain way. I got to act this way. Christians act this way. I'm not going to be a Christian if I don't act this way. If somebody else sees me, they'll think I'm not a Christian, so I got to act a certain way. And in all reality, that's just simply putting on a show when we act like that. And we know from the beginning of this sermon series, it's all about Christian freedom, isn't it? If we're truly Christian, and we are to be holy, we will act like Christians Okay? Christians. And what does this involve, we say? What does it involve living as a Christian? All through the Bible, we see God's chosen people and how they act. And we see how God gave His people and gives His people laws and rules and statutes, right? And we see that the purpose of that is so that we would have some direction. Not that we might be perfect, but that we might have direction to live our lives the way God wants us to live our lives. But we've carried this so far, it's become enough to wear a Pharisee out with the thou shalt, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and this I got to do, and that I can't do, and so on and so forth. According to Paul in his writings that we read today, he says, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to religious festivals and new moon celebrations or the Sabbath day. The reality is found in Christ. Don't let anybody judge you because you don't act like a Christian. And look at what he says in Ephesians. He gives a list of all these things. And you know, when we read through the New Testament, there's tons of writings by Paul on things that we should do and shouldn't do and how we should live and what the things that we should get rid of and those sort of things. And they're there for a reason. Paul's writing to a certain people because of certain problems they're dealing with. And they are good guidelines all through the New Testament. And Paul goes on to say, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. He says, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Now, when Paul says, be imitators of God, this opens up a window for us to understand what it means to act like Christians. According to Paul, we're not to follow society, not church rules, not culture, but God. And the whole of the New Testament gives us that picture of how to act, right? If we are to imitate God. You know, grace, love, acceptance, forbearance. If you notice, these are attributes that describe Christ. If we are to be Christians, shouldn't they describe us? When people see us in the way we act, these should be the things that are at the forefront of our lives as Christians, not all this other stuff. Galatians tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These should define how we should act as Christians, filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus tells us how to act. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? That's how we're supposed to act as Christians, but we get into the Christian workout. No, we got to do these things. This is how we're supposed to act because we don't want people to see Christians as imperfect. We want to be lean, mean Christian machines, you know? So what do? All right, for Harry and Carol, because they haven't seen it. We get into the Christian workout, don't we? Oh my goodness, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Here's how I gotta act going out in public. Oh, there's a neighbor, I gotta be careful how I act. Oh my gosh, there it is. You know, and what do? We get into this silly mode of putting on a show for the whole world. You know, I think about Jesus. Jesus was a carpenter. I wonder what he said when he hit his thumb with the hammer. Right? Let's look at Jesus. Jesus got angry, didn't he? He wept. He was very frustrated with the religious leaders, and he let them know it. He had very little patience for the religious leaders. He was sad. He disagreed with others. He didn't let the culture run his life. He was even a rebel to some extent. But what do we focus on when we read about Jesus? We focus on his acts of grace, don't we? His healings, his teachings, his love, his acceptance, his concern and focus with others and their needs and circumstances. Let me ask you today, in your Christian journey, what is the thing that has changed your life the most? Is it the fact that you didn't stare around somebody? Or you didn't do any coarse joking? Remember what first things we've got to be serious, like we talked about. Or was it the grace of God when you realize Jesus died on the cross for you? What has made the biggest impact in your life? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace will pardon and cleanse within. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Life-changing grace. Forbearance. Forgiveness. That's how we should act. That's what's going to transform the world. Not running around with us trying to put on a show for the whole world to see that we're Christians because we're perfect. We don't do certain things. We're Christians. And the Bible says we're not supposed to do these things. Jesus wasn't focused on himself. When we define Jesus, we use heavenly standards. Therefore, we have to use heavenly standards to govern our actions as Christians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And that is a battle, isn't it? That is a battle. But some say, what about all of our other actions? The anger, the slander, the sexual immorality, the stealing, the lying. Don't they cancel out the good actions in our lives? It's not like that, see. There's where we lose the freedom. In Jesus Christ, we are His children. He holds us in His arms. No one can take us out of His arms. Plain and simple. Let's understand that. We are His children. That is our identity. Any of you, or all of you that have had children, know that the way your kids act does not determine their identity as your children. They're still your children, right? They don't always act like you want them to act. But they're still your children. So we discipline them. We guide them. We direct them. And yeah, we let them know we're not happy with them. Same thing with God, you see. We have to understand that the sin that we commit as Christians doesn't cancel out, because it's not a weight system. It's not weighing things. It's growing in God's grace. Remember Paul? Paul struggled. Did he give up? Absolutely not. He kept on going. He said, I push on heavenward to the goal in Christ Jesus. But what do? We get all wrapped up in our actions. Last night I was driving home from Columbus, Ohio. You know how it is when you're out on the highway and you're going down the road and there everybody is in line. You're going 68 miles an hour. And all of a sudden there's an on-ramp. And here comes somebody up on the on-ramp. And there you are. And you think, what do? They want in. You want to keep going. You don't want to have to move over, right? So what do? And the grumble, there I was, just started to take place, and so you don't want to give up your position. The law says they have to yield to you. So you sit there and you think, what are they doing? They're breaking the law. They need to yield. But instead, I thought to myself, well, why can't I just simply put on the brakes and let them in? Won't that say more than me trying to hurry and get ahead of them and crowd them out so they're off on the berm, scared to death to come and see the fish on the back of my car? So I put
put on the dress and I let them in and I look for the fish on their car.
You know, we talked about that last week. Or there we are going down the road. And somebody passes you and they pull over in front of you and there you are and all of a sudden they pull over in front of you and they slow down. They slow down. What are they doing? You see how easily things explode. So how are we supposed to act? With grace, with forgiveness, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and most importantly, self-control. Paul had this battle with the flesh, you see, and so do we. Wow, boy, isn't that the truth. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Did he give up? No, he did not. And that's the key as Christians. Rather than getting our mindset on being perfect according to the standards of the world, we stop and we say, how should I act? I should act as imitating God with grace and forgiveness and love. Remember we learned last week we're a real piece of work, aren't we? We're God's divine work. As Christians, we're also all a bunch of characters, aren't we? We're a bunch of characters. Now, think about this. In a play, there are certain characters in the play. And the people put on that character to express something that they want you to know in that play so you can follow along. They have certain characteristics. We have certain characteristics. Characters have characteristics. We have fleshly characteristics. But the question is, do we have heavenly characteristics with heavenly purposes? When the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, we do not work to be perfect. We strive to be holy, set apart from society's ways, set apart from the culture. And we do that by engaging in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, maybe repentance, maybe humility, maybe with a contrite heart. Those are the things, the actions that should really manifest themselves in the Christians. Because when, as Christians, we say, well, you can't do this, you can't do this, here's what you got to do, here's what you can't do, somebody says, wow, that really looks hard to me. I don't think I want to do that. Because frankly, I can't do that. I'll never be that perfect thing. Rather, transforming the world by acting as Christians in love, peace, and forgiveness, the world says, hey, there's something different about those people. In biblical words, there's something holy about them. You see? They're different than society. They're different than the culture. And if we use the world's standards and frankly some church's standards, then may the Lord have mercy on us, because none of us are really acting like Christians. And here's the freedom part. Here's the freedom part. We're not trying to be perfect. We're just trying to extend grace. Real quickly, and then I'm done. In the Bible, there are several words used in different translations. Blameless versus perfect. The King James uses the word perfect. The word perfect means complete, pious, and undefiled. It does not mean without error. See, it means undefiled, complete, pious. Any of us ever going to be that? Were we ever? Absolutely not. Webster's Dictionary defines perfect as complete in respects, flawless, blameless, being not at fault. In Christ Jesus, our condition is blameless. The Psalms tell us that. In Psalm 32. David writes, blessed is He whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, in whose spirit is no deceit. Free because we are in Christ Jesus, blameless. So we can be blameless in Christ and still have flaws, can't we? And still make mistakes. And we will as long as we live in this fleshly body, like Paul was saying. We will never be perfect in this life. You have to die to finalize the process that began with Christ. And then we're made perfect. But along the way, the Christian is separate from society in that they express acts of grace and love and patience and peace and joy and kindness, self-control and goodness. Why? For the good of God's kingdom. As the Holy Spirit of God works in us, we become God's holy people. And we're set apart because our actions are Christ-like. Not perfect, but Christ-like. In grace, in love, forgiveness. Let's pray.